May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's gospel lesson reminds me of a brief snapshot from a movie called It's Kind of a Funny Story. Has anyone seen this movie? Okay, good. A few of you. It's a great movie. It's about a 16-year-old boy named Craig who is experiencing crushing anxiety and depression, and so he checks himself in to a New York City mental hospital. Although it's really difficult at times, his stay in the hospital turns out to be a time of healing and joy, even in the midst of pain. For a few weeks, Craig's whole world is the third floor of this mental hospital. He's welcomed into the odd mix of people who have also come to call the third floor home. People of all ages and backgrounds, each with their own issues, their own histories, their own wounds. Their stories are sometimes funny, sometimes sweet, and often heartbreaking. There's one scene in particular that I want to focus in on today. Our young friend Craig and his fellow patients are gathered in a circle to do some mandatory music therapy. A kind volunteer comes in regularly to help the patients learn to express themselves musically. Craig is less than excited about this activity, but being the new kid on the floor, he is volunteered to sing lead vocals. After much resisting, he sheepishly gets up and takes the mic. The group begins to play, a weird, jumbled symphony of tambourines, keyboards, and cowbells. Craig takes a deep breath and closes his eyes, and slowly the discordant cacophony becomes a fantastic rendition of none other than the incredible 80s power ballad, Under Pressure, by Queen and David Bowie. Suddenly, the scene is transformed from a rundown room on a psychiatric ward to the brilliantly lit stage of an 80s rock show. In this dreamlike vision, Craig and his fellow patients are transformed into rock stars. They no longer wear pajamas or hospital-issued scrubs. Now each person is decked out in glitter and leather, neon leggings and sequined blazers and feather boas. And they sing and dance their hearts out. But here is my favorite part of this scene, the scars. See, people on this hospital ward have scars, not just emotional scars, but actual marks in their skin, the results of violence done to them by others or violence against themselves. But in their transformation into rock stars, their scars are not erased. Instead, they are transformed. For example, one young girl has three scars across her face. One might think that in an otherworldly dream scenario, those scars would disappear. Instead, her scars are highlighted with glitter, and they sparkle and glimmer in the bright spotlights. In this David Bowie-induced vision, each wounded person is invited to be more gloriously themselves, not less. Every part of them is made new, not erased or left behind. This is a brilliant image of resurrection. In the gospel story that we read today, Jesus has been made new. All of Jesus, his body and his spirit, has been resurrected, has been transformed from death into life. Resurrection has made new the very body of Jesus. It has not erased it and started all over. This is why the resurrected Christ still bears scars. In the light of Easter, the marks of Jesus' torture and death are not erased, but transformed. Now Jesus' scars are not just marks of torture and death, but they are signs of hope, physical and tangible reminders of not only Jesus' resurrection, but ours as well. I love this gospel story about the disciple Thomas putting his hands on the scars in Christ's hands and side, because it reminds us of the bodily nature of Christ. Too often we in the church forget that we are incarnate beings, physical creatures, and that our faith must therefore be incarnate as well. Too often we tend to assign faith to a purely intellectual or spiritual realm, as though faith were something we could do without our bodies. Much of contemporary Christian teaching would have us believe that faith is nothing more than an intellectual assent to an idea, that salvation is about having the right ideas about God. But in fact, the Bible tells us a very different story from beginning to end. In the beginning, God created humankind, formed them out of physical stuff, out of the dust of the earth. And God looked at this physical, bodily creation and said, "It is very good." And when we had sinned and fallen away from God's good plan for us, God chose to draw us back into his loving embrace, not through an idea, not through an intellectual concept that we must assent to, but through a human being, the Word made flesh, Jesus, the Son of Mary. And when the world rejected the Word made flesh, there was not just a symbolic death, an intellectual rejection of Jesus' teaching. There was an actual death, a painful and bloody death on a cross. All along, the story of God and humanity is an incarnational, bodily one. And so it matters that in Easter, we encounter the body of the risen Christ, miraculously and wondrously alive, mysteriously transformed and yet still bearing scars. What this tells us is that in resurrection, our bodies are not destroyed, but are redeemed. In Christ, our wounds and our weaknesses are transformed into something even more beautiful. Our scars are not erased, but are made brilliant and glittery when we let God change us. In the resurrection, we are lifted up with Christ from death into life, the life that God intended for us, a life that we bear in both our bodies and our souls. Because the promise of eternal life does not make our bodily lives here on earth irrelevant. The risen Christ shows us that our bodies matter to God. And so a life of faith, a life of following Jesus, means offering our whole selves, our hearts, minds, and bodies to God. So we know that God redeems our wounds and our weaknesses and makes them into something beautiful, and we give thanks for that gracious gift. But we also need to think about how we are called to live out our faith in our bodies on this side of resurrection. We began our worship this morning with the collect of the day, the prayer chosen for this particular Sunday in the season of Easter. We prayed, "Grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith." So there it is. We are called to embody our faith, not just in what we say or what we believe, but in how we live and what we do with our bodies. I'd like to close by suggesting three ways that we are called to live out our faith with our bodies. First, we worship. Worship is how we incarnate beings connect with God, by gathering together in this beautiful space, by raising our voices in song and playing music, by getting on our knees and confessing our sins, by coming forth to the altar to eat the bread and drink the wine, sharing a meal together so that we may become the body of Christ. And this morning, by celebrating the baptism of the two newest members of that body. When we worship God, we are living out our faith with our bodies. So pat on the back because you're here today, so you got step one. Second, we care for our bodies. We practice wellness. St. Paul writes that our bodies are temples where the Spirit of God dwells. And so we must treat our bodies with the utmost care. This means eating healthily, exercising, getting enough sleep, all the things that are really easy to say and a whole lot harder to actually do. Believe me, I know. Last week I started a program called Couch to 5K. Has anyone heard of this? This is an app on my phone that is supposed to get me from the couch, where I currently reside most evenings, to walking and jogging and eventually to running a 5K. I know this may not sound like much to all you runners out there, but the last time I ran even 1 mile was when I was forced to do so in my sixth grade PE class. And I'm pretty sure I threw up afterwards. The point is, I get it. It's tough to make healthy choices for our bodies. But the good news is that you have a whole community around you to support you. In fact, our associate rector, Liz Parker, is rolling out an awesome new wellness program here at Palmer called the Living Compass. This is a small group ministry that helps you set manageable wellness goals and have the support and accountability of a nurturing group of friends along the way. It's an awesome program, and groups are starting up this week. If you're interested, please talk with Liz or with John Wallace, and they would be happy to get you connected. Finally, the third way that we live out our faith with our bodies. We serve. Again and again, Jesus asks us to follow his example and serve others with humility and love. There are endless opportunities to serve others in your daily lives, at home and at work. And we also serve together as the body of Christ. Many of you know that next Sunday, April 30th, is our big Easter season Serve Sunday. We have more than 10 different projects going on here on campus and in the wider Houston community. This is a great opportunity to practice living out your faith. You could help clean up the yard and the home of some of our friends with special needs. Or you could share a meal and a game of bingo with residents of New Hope Housing. When we offer ourselves in service to others, we get to participate in God's work of making new all of creation. So I encourage you this week to pay attention to the bodily aspect of your faith. In what ways is God redeeming your wounds and weaknesses in the light of the resurrection? And how are you being called to live out your faith in worship, in wellness, and in service? Amen.